I love getting up here and then taking my glasses off that I should have taken off before I walked the stairs. What a strange thing it is. Good to see you this morning. Several things during the singing. One, it was good. Two, I was thinking about the National Convention Center in Washington, D.C. It's kind of big. And I remember speaking there on a couple occasions, but the first time, the first thing they said to me was, Sheriff, you need to go back to makeup. And I went, what? Now, the only makeup in my career, either the law enforcement or the preaching side of this, has been there's you can get these little pieces of paper that you tear out and you rub them over your exposed skin, and for the next 2 hours, you cannot sweat. Okay, that's apparently advantageous. So that's the only thing that had been done. So I go back to this back room, and there's this lady in there, and she says, have a seat. And I sit down, and she goes, I can see the trepidation on your face. I'm not doing anything weird. And I'm thinking, I'm here. That's weird. And I said, so is this what you've done your whole career, is do this political city? And she goes, oh, no. I used to do this in Hollywood for the movies and TV shows. And I said, and I go, so this got to be worse with a bunch of politicians. And she goes, oh, no, so much less ego with the politicians than the actors and actresses. And I went, oh, okay. So she does her thing, and she goes, how does it look? And I go, it looks like I did before. I see no improvement. And she goes, well, in addition to not being able to sweat, you will not reflect light and you will not look washed out. And I'm going, okay. So then you get to walk out and you start way back. And I mean way back. And you're walking like to the other end of the building. And you get to the pulpit. And there's four theater screens to your right. And there's four theater screens to your left. And from about this forward, there's roughly 14,000 people. And it's fine. It's fine. It doesn't matter who's there. I could tell you that the college kids were in the third tier back that way. I can tell you that the incredibly wealthy Jewish people were in this section right here. And everything else was fine, well, except for the front row. The front row, Shimon Peres, Michael Oren, the U.S. Ambassador to Israel, row two, Secret Service, and then everything was people beyond that. And I would tell you what, you can take it. This is so much better. You all look better for one thing. Side note, there may not be 14,000 of you, but you look better. And I was sitting there amazed at the blessing it is that you trust me to stand here. I'm deeply honored. And I was touched when, Treyas, when you finished the offertory, that there was. Now, don't take all that clapping to heart for you, because I'm going to tell you, there is, it's, you know, we use words like praise. There's different ways to praise, to worship. And one of them we've talked about is lifting your hands and, you know, Yod, open-handed unto God, everything I am, everything I'm not, everything I've got, I'm yours, Lord. You do with it what you want. Okay, that's a good thing. That's used more, the lifting hands for worship, than singing. And we major on the singing. This one, a clap offering unto God, a wave offering to God, merely standing or eating carpet. That's another one. Using your knees, all opportunities to worship. But it's not so much the act as it is the heart behind it. And I needed to get that out before we get into all this today. Tonight, you have the absolute honor to have Reese teaching tonight, right? You ready, Reese? It's going to be good. If you haven't come with us to a Wednesday night yet, you should. It's an absolute joy. We've got six guys right now. that are doing this. Started in Genesis 1:1, and we're going to finish at the end of Revelation. And again, if we do one chapter a week, it's only 23 years that it's going to take us to do this. And I hope you all live long enough. I will tell you that I did invite some pastors in another church that we were part of, four of us. I invited them to my 105th birthday party because I intend on outliving my Aunt May, and she made it to 104 and a half. So 23 years doesn't seem that long. We'll get there. Anyway, it's a good opportunity. With six different people teaching, you're getting different gifts, callings, education, viewpoint of that particular scripture. And we're tracking, if I say the lineage of Jesus, the scarlet thread of redemption from Genesis through Revelation. And it's been an eye-opener, I think. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, in Jesus Christ's name, we come to you, Lord. And God, I want to thank you for the day. I want to thank you for the people that are here. And I thank you for all those that are traveling, God. And I ask you to bless them in their travels. Thank you for being our provision. Thank you for caring for us. And God, help us to care for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Last thing leading up to this is that this week I've been in 40 hours of chaplain training in law enforcement, had a team coming up to teach from Colorado, and I'd like to tell you that I was bored to tears, but it was actually really good training. I enjoyed it. Glad we did it. For the three of us that were able to attend from the Juneau Police Department, from the couple, and Reese, Mio says to tell you hi. Yes, and his wife, Michelle. Yep, okay, so I've done it. As an outflow of it, there's a predicted flood. You probably hadn't heard about that. Here's the deal. God says it won't destroy the earth, but there may be some people displaced. And in Red Cross circles, the people who work in the shelters are usually not sheltered with the people that they're sheltering. Well, by the same token, with first responders, we're going to be the shelter, if necessary, for displaced law enforcement families. We're close to the police department. That's helpful. We have limited showers. They have more. But if that occurs, it could affect Sunday school for a week or two. And if it does, we'll let you know. But we've already got a partnership with Love Inc., so we're excited. If you've got your Bible with you, and if you would, turn to James chapter 1. Evie made a statement that I take as a compliment this week. She said, I'm shocked the amount of time that you spend getting ready for Sunday morning. And I'm blessed. And I also go, she didn't think I spent time? Anyway, I'm glad. This one is unique because I haven't had the opportunity to spend as much time because I had 40 hours dedicated to something else. But this letter, verse 1, this letter is from James, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's some discussion on who this James was, and I didn't realize that, but apparently some people were confused about it. The general belief is, and I'm of that company, that this letter is from James, the brother of Jesus, as opposed to James, son of Alphaeus, or John's brother, James. And I can give you several reasons. Two of them are apostles. This James is not. And I note this is from James, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, rather than following the model of this letter is from James of the apostle. So, and I'll accept it just on that alone. I'm writing to the 12 tribes, Jewish believers scattered abroad. Greetings. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Really? How do you feel when trouble comes your way? Woohoo! Glory to God, my hurt. Yeah, I'm so excited. I broke my leg. Woo! I understand the construct of being able at that moment to go, okay, I trust from the bottom of my soul, I trust that God can work this together for good. Because I can tell you when I did that, skipping the stairs and ripping all the, yeah, I don't want to go there. See, I stopped. But my son John came out and helped. I wasn't the happiest moment. I really planned on that for what that's worth. That's been a side discussion. But I can tell you that you think through. You think through, you seek God, and you move forward. But there's also the choice that's hard, and is it a choice to walk or not walk? And to walk in the glory of God is a great thing. To looking at where you currently are and see the hope for better to come. To be able to walk for where you are and start to see how God's in this. And where the path is to liberty, where the path is to joy. Do you ever just hurt? I mean, it could be emotional, it could be physical, but where you just hurt and you wonder, is this going to end? You know, I will tell you that there's always hope. There's faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love, but there's always hope. You know, if it's as simple as my thumb really hurts the last week. Okay, big deal. It's not your thumb. The key is if I got my Bible in it, I don't want to drop it when the thumb starts to hurt. But it's little stuff. It's the little things that start to bother you and get to you day after day, week after week, year after year. But dear brothers and sisters, when trouble of any kind comes your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect or mature and complete, needing nothing. There's a book out by a gentleman named Brother Lawrence. And do I agree with anything any author shy of this book says? No. I always find things I disagree. Well, Tolkien's pretty high on my list. But I'm always finding things that I agree with and things that I disagree with. But he takes a very unique position on suffering. And he talks about, you know, that we're called to join in the sufferings of Christ. And he takes the position, which I think is off the end, and I'll explain why in just a moment, is that he never would ask for God to deliver him from anything. If he was hurting badly, he would not ask God because he wanted to join in the sufferings of Christ more than he wanted to ask for healing. I haven't been there, but I also know that I'm told if you're ill, call for the elders to pray for you, and it's okay to do these things. It's okay to seek healing. It's okay to seek help. Because we can't eliminate just one thing in there. But I do agree with him that we need to, when we are suffering, look at it as an opportunity to join and have some empathy with the sufferings of Christ. Because anything that we have gone through pain-wise is probably far less. But worse than that, remember that, as you said here, you couldn't carry the weight of your own sin. And he, Jesus, carried the weight of all of our sin. And not just this room. Every person that's ever been born or ever will be born carried the total weight of all their sin. Joining in the sufferings of Christ, that you might have some concept of what our Savior's done for us, is not a bad thing, but rather a good thing. The other side of it is there's times where you need to be fixed. And I think it's perfectly okay when you're injured or sick, to go to the hospital, to go to your doctor, to seek prayer, to seek God's face in it. If your heart's broken, I can tell you truly, the only one that heals a broken heart has a name, and it's Jesus. He heals the broken heart. Now, I'm not talking about the organ in your body, but that that place in your spirit. And all of us have some level of damage. All of us have some level of fear. And being able to open-handed hold that out to God and seek His favor in it. It's okay. That's a good thing. Anytime that you choose to interact with the ruler and creator of the universe, I would count that as a good thing, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Anytime that you have that opportunity, take it and use it. And you know, sometimes you've got to make hard decisions, and it's okay to seek the face of the one who knows the best outcome and seek that. That simple book, Hinds Feet on High Places, I've mentioned it several times, I'll mention it more times. But I love it when the lady, well, the young deer, the hind, goes to Jesus and goes, "Sometimes in my life, Lord, it's hard, but you've always been there to help me through, and I seek you." And she goes, "But what about my friend?" And says this other deer's name, "Her life is so much harder than mine. Why do I have it comparatively so easy and she's got it so hard?" And sometimes there's an answer that nobody likes to hear. It sounds good, but nobody likes to hear it. "This one's for the glory of God." What? So this person's been suffering for 30 years for the glory of God. I don't know how to explain all that, but I do know that Scripture says it, so it's okay. Sometimes it's due to something else. If I stub my toe, there's a reason my toe hurts. I can connect the two. Makes sense. Sometimes it just doesn't make sense to us. That doesn't mean it's not there. It just means that I don't see it. But it's okay in all those cases to seek the Lord. It's okay. And have you noticed our ability? We can praise God for really good things so well. Like today, even if you haven't filled out the silly card that may have shown up in your mailbox in the last 6 years, somebody knocks on your door and you open the door and they go, "This is the Publisher's Clearing House $10 billion award. You are now rich beyond your wildest dreams." And you rejoice and you clap because I watch them. They scream in joy and they just almost got a death sentence. They just don't realize it. Because if you went from normal to billionaire, you're not equipped to deal with this. God is, you're not. And you should be going, "Oh Lord." And there's a few verses down, it talks about why the rich are in trouble and the poor are in good stead. There's reasons for that. But we're not good at rejoicing over the times that we hurt. We're not good at rejoicing when we lose our daddy or our mama. We're not good at rejoicing. And it doesn't mean we're happy someone is dead, but it's accepting the counsel and comfort, the Holy Spirit. It's receiving. One of my favorite books in the Bible is Ecclesiastes. And I've shared with you that with the other pastors, one of them had taught from it, and he was just like, doom, despair, and agony, oh me, deep, dark depression, excessive misery. I quoted Hee Haw, just in case you don't know, because it's so good, I should say it again. But I can tell you, when I look at it as an old guy, that I know I get to wither and die and go home. And I look forward to home. I don't know what home is, not really. You know, we've talked about this, Evie and I have talked about this for years. If I say, "Evie, where's home?" She sees this farmhouse on this chunk of ground in Iowa. Because how many years did you live there? All of your formative years. Yeah. Lots of years. And you say that to me, I don't have any picture in my head. I don't have any picture because we moved 13 times before I got to high school. And most of those I can remember, but they don't seem like home. And then other things happened, and it didn't seem like home. So as a Christian, suddenly, when I came to Christ, I realized in the future, I have a home that I have yet to see. But I have a home. And so I've got something I can start holding on to. Because when Evie says, I think I need to go home, I'm thinking, which one are we talking about here? Because I'm thinking, home is home. And there's things that we have yet to see that are so good that we don't know how to deal with them. So because of that, I can choose to rejoice on things that are hard. I can choose to love Ecclesiastes, not because it's a hard act of my will, but because I start seeing that it really is okay. It's okay that there's a plan that we're not right now, because of the curse, we're not designed to live forever. This body is in failure mode. You start looking in your life, and there's a time that almost no matter what you do, you can't get their hearts to stop as little kids. Their hearts want to beat so badly. If you're going to do CPR and you're doing it on a child, the likelihood of their survival is so high compared to somebody who's like almost 73. My heart wants to go home, and I'm still clinging, calm down, Lisa. It's okay. But the fact is that I do identify with so much in Ecclesiastes. I disagree when he says it's just all vanity. It's not all vanity. We're here for a purpose, and it's to glorify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, a bright morning star. I'm here to love my wife with my whole heart and to receive that love from her. I am so, I'm going to use the P word, and I shouldn't. I am so proud that my son John is sitting right here, right now. But just is. And what I want to do is I want to go over and hug him. I rejoice in his presence. Do you rejoice in the presence of the Lord? We come here like every Sunday. And do you rejoice in God's presence? Do you have times during the week where you just feel that closeness with God? Those are critical things for us. So when it says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has chance to grow. And what this means is once you start leaning into God, when it's hard, when it's easy, when it's the publisher's clearinghouse, God, what do I do with this? When it's your thumb hurts, God, what do I do with this? But you lean into the Lord. God, thank you that I can trust you to work this together for good in my life. Help me. Make me more like you. But that you know when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask Him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Okay, if I'm reading this English translation accurately, it says if I don't have wisdom on how to act in something, that I should ask God about it. And that he's got all that wisdom sitting there ready to share with me. That means God shares with me. That means that you're important enough to the ruler and creator of the universe that he has a personal relationship with you that's active and alive. And if I have an active and alive relationship with my wife, I was asked this week in the training, how do you manage a great deal of stress in your life? And I know some of the answers they want, and some of them I agree with, and I give to them. Do I ever go to the gym? Yeah. One guy said, I go to the gym, and he was one of the teachers. I try to go to the gym 7 days a week. And I said, I try to go to the gym no more than three, preferably two. And he looked at me. And there's a follow-up story about endorphins. He's addicted, Evie. But I said, really? I've two things. I turned to the Lord, and He is a great bearer of burdens, and none of us are designed to be bearers of burdens. other than just so long as it takes to transfer that to Him. We're to help each other bear burdens, and the way we do that is we help each other take those burdens and surrender them to Jesus. And I know He's so much better at solving problems than I am, but that's number one. But then the other one is Evie. And one of the instructors goes, How does your wife do this? And I go, she grounds me. And he goes, What do you mean? Sometimes she verbally slaps me around and gets me straightened up. Okay. And I used an illustration where we'd had a parent who killed a child. And a horrid situation. We were there all day. Came home that night, took shower because you feel dirty. And I sat on the couch. I was sitting on the left side of the couch, and Evie was sitting on the right, and TV was on, and she was doing something. And at one point, I realized that she's looking at me, and she goes, "Are you all right?" And I go, "No, ma'am, I'm not all right." And she goes, "What's wrong?" And I go, I can't get my head wrapped around this. This man did what everything in me screams is wrong. As a daddy, this is not what a daddy does." And Evie looked at me, and I don't know if you all understand the body language that goes with this, because we do it without thinking because it's our language. Her head dropped a little to the right, and she looked forward. She made solid eye contact with me, and she goes, "That's because you're normal and he's not." And that's it. What a simple statement. And it hit me like a huge punch in the chest. And inside I went, "My wife calls me normal." Yeah, it's better than quirky. I don't know. No. I am quirky. But I told him that. And some tears started popping in a couple people's eyes, because I'm blessed. I have a person called my wife who grounds me, who grounds me. And they go, "Well, how does she do that?" And I go, "We talk a lot. We talk a lot." And they go, "Do you ever have date nights?" And I'm thinking, every night's a date night, you know? But they said, "Yeah." And they go, "Well, what do you do?" And I go, "Usually it means we go out and eat." "Well, what do you do when you go out to eat?" I'm thinking, "Well, we eat." And we talk. And we talk. And they said, "So that's your second?" And I go, "Yeah. Well, what's your first? What's your first option here?" And I go, "The Lord. It has to do with prayer life." And they go, "Well, how does that work?" And I go, "We talk. We talk. We talk about I serve the risen, sa I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. We talk about I come to the garden alone, and He walks with me and talks with me and tells me I am His own. We sing these songs, but do you really just chit chat with the Lord?" One of the high moments in my memories are when both of my sons were in elementary school. And Evie's at work, and I was working midnights, which meant Evie would leave for work. I would come home. Evie would leave for work. I would get the boys on the school bus, and then I would go to bed. And then I would get up, and on days like today, I'd put my hammock in between two trees in the front yard, and I would be on the hammock thinking, "You're not going to sleep. You're not going to sleep." And then the yellow school bus with its wheels that go round and round would come up, and they would get off the school bus. And they were small enough, and my hammock was humongous. They would crawl on the hammock, and we'd cuddle, and we would talk. That's what you're supposed to do with Jesus. Crawl up in His lap. When I proposed to Evie and she eventually said yes, a few hours later, I asked her to think about it and count the cost. We were sitting in the back pew, or not the back pew, but close to the back in the Baptist church in Petersburg. And and it was time where we were going to commit it to the Lord, and we got down on our knees, and I prayed, and then Evie started to pray. And what she did is this little girl voice went, "Papa," and I could just see Evie crawling up into God's lap, because her relationship with the Lord is one where she can walk and talk with Jesus. Communicate, not just one way, but the interaction. The interaction. So what about you? That's what you need to look at. What is your relationship like? So when the stress comes on, do you run? Sometimes if people are shooting at you, I recommend running and hiding. I recommend cover more than concealment. Cover stops bullets, concealment doesn't. But in the midst of that, I also recommend that spiritually you curl up in your daddy's lap. You walk and talk with Jesus. And then when you get home, do the next shot. Curl up with your spouse, your friends, your brothers and sisters in Christ. God has given us each other to bear one another's burdens, and yet when those burdens come to us, He's given us a Savior who carries those burdens. And that gift, talent, skill, learning is knowing how to shift those burdens to Him. Knowing how to rejoice in difficult things. If you need wisdom, ask your generous God and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask Him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unstable or unsettled as a wave in the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. You've got to believe. You've got to trust. You've got to rest and know that your deliverance, your salvation, and everything comes from Jesus alone. Does that mean you have to walk it alone? Not necessarily. You know, look at some of the Old Testament prophets think about Jonah. He doesn't want to do it. He doesn't want to do it. Then he goes to the guys because the ship's going to sink. Throw me over. I can't do it myself. Throw me over. It's my fault. So they help him and throw him over. And he gets swallowed by the great fish and lives for several days and is puked out on the beach of where he's supposed to be in the first place. Then he gets up there and boy, he's ready to go now. So he preaches the message. And of all things, everybody repented. It made him mad. He's mad because they repented. Well, he was there so they had an opportunity to repent. But he's mad because he wanted to see God's wrath fall upon Nineveh. And you think, huh, are we ever satisfied? Are we ever satisfied? Well, that's a whole new one. People with divided loyalty. Verse 7, such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they're unstable in everything they do. Huh. Are you unstable or are you well-founded? Or did you build your house upon the sand? Or did you build your house upon the rock of ages, cleft for you, the Lord Jesus? Where did you build your house? Pat and I have a recurring conversation. Did you come to observe today or did you come to participate? Is it like a football game where you sit in the stands or are you out there throwing passes, catching passes, tackling, blocking? I don't know, coaching. What are you here for? And then apply it to your life as a whole. Are you trying to walk through life as an observer or are you integrating with it? Do you care that there's people that are hurting out here that you may have capacity to engage? I'll tell you, the only person that can answer that for you besides the Lord is you. You can answer that for you. Are you engaged in this world, or have you packed it up and are heading home? May take a while to get there, but I would encourage you that so long as you have breath, let the words of your mouth and the meditation of your heart be pleasing in His sight. Stay on the mission field the whole time. Don't quit now. There's people out there that need help. I loved our ministerial alliance in Missouri. There was one of them. And we gathered, and sometimes there'd be four of us. Sometimes there'd be 20 some odd of us, but we'd gather. And one of the things we did is we laughed a lot. We laughed a lot. The other thing that we did is we loved each other. And part of that is we would lift each other up when we hurt. And one of my dear friends, Jeremy Sechrist, is a Catholic priest. And at the table at that moment, we had Jeremy, we had David Avery, retired Disciples of Christ, Mark Kiefer, retired evangelical free, me, Southern Baptist, and I'm trying to think who the other one was. There were five of us. Can't think right now. And the other one, another denomination. So we had five brothers in Christ. Five brothers in Christ that honestly, we all love each other. And for Jeremy to be able to go, "Would you all pray for me?" He goes, "I know that we look at some things differently, but we've all had parents. And my dad just died, and my heart's broken." So, what should four other men who are brothers in Christ do at that moment? We got up and we put our hands on his shoulders and we prayed him through this the best we could. And then five pastors of five different denominations got up and hugged each other because we love each other. Not nearly as much as Jesus loves us, but we loved each other. So don't be afraid to reach out and carry one another's burdens. But here's the hard part. Don't be afraid to share your burdens because you don't have to do without love. You don't have to do without brothers and sisters in Christ. You may not have any more in the world, but you've got them in Christ. This is up to you. And this is part of this. Do you believe and receive or doubt and do without? This whole thing with James comes down to what are you doing and why are you doing it? And why don't you do the things that breed love? We're commanded to not just love the Lord our God with our whole being, but to love our neighbors as ourselves. And then John reinforces it by saying, and they're going to know that we are Christians, not because of the cute way we part our hair, but by our love. How do we love one another? That's a big deal. Can we do it? And I'm going to tell you something, y'all, you're going to bless my socks off. I can kind of picture my socks going up and down. You bless my socks off because you get love. And it's so much easier to give it than it is to receive it. The hardest lesson I ever had to learn was I like giving stuff to other people. It's tough when people give stuff to you. And you know why? It's a five-letter word and it spells sin. It's called pride. Wow, I should be able to do this on my own. Oh, really? Yeah, none of us can do it on our own. So what I'd ask you to do this week as we go forward is I'd ask you to spend some time just walking and talking with Jesus. You can do it anytime. We can be sitting in the parsonage living room with the TV on, watching The Rookie. I like John Nolan. And Evichen at the same time have this stupid little crossword book that I don't like crossword puzzles. Is that what it is? Is it word search? And I can have my tablet open, listening to something at the same time. In the middle of all of that, carry on a conversation with God. In the midst of everything, you need to be able to pray. They can't take it away from you, but you can choose to abandon it. Have you ever been driving down? I'll tell you, in the mornings, if I leave the property, get in the little Oscar Mobile, thank you, and start driving away. I will not do anything other than drive and pray. It's a little covenant I've got with myself. So I start dealing with issues that come to mind and pray through them, which means I talk and I listen. I talk and I listen. This week, I want you to talk and listen with the Lord. It's an easy thing. Yeah, y'all need to watch it. I'll go back to my knees again. That was fun too. It's not about how old you are. It's not about how young you are. It's not about what you drive or what you don't drive or where you live or how many people live there. It's just about how you relate with Jesus. This is simple stuff. James is telling you, you want to do this right. And when you're talking to God, you need to believe him. You need to trust him. He's talking about, so you start weighing, well, the world says this, or these 14 pastors say this, and these 12 say this. Well, what's God say? Well, how do you respond to what God says? This is the big deal. So if the praise team wants to come up, we'll close in song, but let's pray. So if you'd stand. Father God, in Jesus Christ's name, we come to you. And God, I guess the simplicity is, Lord, what you want. I choose to want. What you want, Lord, we want. What about our house? Well, Lord, for me and my house, we choose you. For us, God, right here at First Baptist Church, Lord, we choose you. Help us to know how to receive from you, Lord, better than we receive from people. God, you've told us that we need to love you first and foremost and most, beyond all things. We love you. Lord, help us to walk in that. And then help us to love one another. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.